out of the house, took the father and the mother and a couple of disciples. They went in and they raised a little girl from dead. Jesus was rejected by many countrymen, by many people who were laughing at him. And I wonder sometimes if that's the reason why he wanted to just go home. So we're going to be studying about that in Mark a little bit as we are approaching our chapter this morning. We're going to be talking about going home in chapter 6. Going home is a very important feature, because in going home, we're going to learn something about the Lord Jesus that we need to take away with us. And in Mark chapter 6, in verse 1, the Scripture says, "And Jesus went out from there, and he came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him." So very much we see the desire of him. Now he's traveling around. He's out there. He's getting the job done. He's doing what his father told him to do. But now he's made this full circle. He's headed back north. He's north of the Sea of Galilee. He's headed toward Nazareth. But this time he goes home. His disciples are following him. He had the desire to go home. I think many of us need to have that kind of desire along the way. But when we go home, we're going to find so much more there. We're going to find challenges. We're going to find rewards. We're going to find family. But when you go back home, it's never the same. There's always something different. Why is it always different? It's because you're different. You're different. God has been working in your life. And because God has been working in your life, now when you go back home, things can be just a little bit different. Let's look for Jesus. Because Jesus went back home with the assignment. Now the assignment was very plain. In chapter 6 and verse 2 he says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished and saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him, and such miracles as performed by his hands?'" He went back home. And can you imagine those old guys saying, "Hey, that's Jesus." You know what some of them would have said? "You remember that table in the house? Jesus made it." That's right. Because he was a carpenter. But now it was on this Sabbath day when he went back home, we find out Jesus did what Jesus always did. Is that good English? Oh, well, it sounded good. Okay, Jesus always went about doing what he went about doing. Is that better? Okay. All right, here we go. What did he do? He went to the synagogue and to teach. Jesus was always about teaching. When this very special day, it was in the synagogue. We would call the church today. That kind of helps us to understand it a little bit better. And why he was there, though, and why he was teaching, many people were astonished. What would it have been like to be sitting around in the group, and all of a sudden the creator of the universe began to tell you about the creation of the universe? If the guy that built the mastermind behind the Empire State Building, if he came in here this morning and he began to tell us the ins and out of building the Empire State Building, many of us would be amazed. I know I would. But that large structure is nothing compared to this world. Now, when these listeners, they were astonished because there's power, and so therefore these unbelievers, they actually do us a good favor. They actually begin to tell us something right here about who he is. In fact, in verse 6, verse 2, it says, "Where did this man get these things from?" So what did you have to pick up on? This illumination. Now, this is kind of coming through the back door, but when Jesus was speaking, he was enlightening them. He was bringing the true light in. And that true light was now shining on these men in his hometown. Where did he get this wisdom from? Not only did he shine the true light in there, but he was the wisdom of the world. And he began to explain to them why things happened, what was happening, what God was doing. But look at one other level right there. "And such miracles performed by his hands." That tells us people who don't believe actually verify the works of Jesus. Now, you got to kind of back up and capture this one. The mission of Jesus: illumination, understanding, verification. The light He showed to you and to me, He gives to us the understanding, and He backs it up with these miracles. Can you trust a man like that? Now, He came home. He shined the light. He told them, backed it up. Wouldn't you want to believe a man like that? Wouldn't you want to say, you know what? He really is concerned. Now, the structure about this thing is, you know, when doubts occur in our life, does Jesus know our struggles? When doubts occur. I was reading an article out of one of the major newspapers this morning talking about how that people still have a strong belief in God, but one year can be different. Because a person can have a strong belief in God, but they can come along and there's in the course of their life, they can have some doubts to creep in, and be totally natural that people struggle with this. When the doubt occurs, Jesus knows our struggle. When He went back home, and the men that He grew up with, and the doubts that were in their mind, He was simply amazed. Because He does know our struggle. And look at their struggle. We'll find it in verse 3. It says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon or Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at Him. Why? Did He shine the light? Did He explain it? Did He verify it? And now all of a sudden they come by because He's familiar. Did you ever think about Jesus sweating? You know somebody that just plumb stinks because they sweated so much? You know that Jesus, no doubt, sometimes He just stunk because He was sweating. They didn't have air conditioning back then. And yet He had to work through it. He was a carpenter. I wonder what He said when He hit His thumb. My thumb hurts. I don't know what He said, but this is what I do know. He learned to trade. He's just like you. He understood you. When they went back home, they looked at this man. They didn't look at Him as the Son of God. They said, "This is the carpenter." But they also saw that this is Mary's son. Pretty good, though. You know about the humanity of Jesus Christ? He was a man's man. He was a woman's son. He was a sibling. Do you suppose the siblings ever argue? Do they ever not argue? No, I shouldn't say it that way. You think there's ever arguments going on in Jesus' house? I think so. You think Jesus was always right? Mama, He's always right. Yeah, I know, son. That would be rough. How do you argue with a guy that's always right? Well, some of y'all argue with people like that, right? We have a famous quote in our household. We went up to Alaska one time, and while we were in Alaska, we were standing in line, and the train was coming through, and a group of people, the older folks, they kind of scampered out in front of us, and they were going to get on the train. And all of a sudden, I heard this real shrill voice from this elderly lady said, "Come on now! Come on! You come right here! Come right here! You got to get on right now!" And you know what I heard the man say? "Yes, dear. You're right. You're always right." Y'all know anybody like that? Well, but anyhow, there was that was going on. Siblings, but there was also community. Jesus, brothers and sisters, and He lived in the community. Think about the humanity. Think about the man. And then ask yourself, when the accident occurs, Jesus knows the pain. I was in the study. I was working on it, the message this morning. Text comes from Laura saying that Mandy, who was sitting right over there last week, Morgan's sister, was in an accident and had a broken neck. She toes are working, moving now. I think that's about all we know at this moment. When the accident occurs, one thing we know, Jesus knows our pain. So we got to be ready. When the doubt occurs, does Jesus know? When the accident occurs, does Jesus know? But look at what these guys did. When he went home and when he taught in the synagogue, these guys took an offense. That's what verse 6 says. And they took offense at him. How could they do that? Why could they do that? When the rejection occurs, does that make sense? Why did these people who saw him grow up, who never saw him steal an apple, who never saw him say a curse word, who never saw him drunk, who never saw him going out with the wrong kind of women, who never saw him do this, and when he came back home and he had followers with him, he had paid the price, why did they reject him? Why? Sometimes we struggle with that. John the Baptist, y'all remember him? John the Baptist, he's the guy that baptized Jesus. He was thrown in jail. We'll explain about that just a little bit more. But here's a scripture. It comes out of Matthew 11:4. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and report to John what you heard. By the way, here's the question. Are you the Messiah or do we look for another? That's the question. Here's the answer. Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive the sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take an offense at me. Capture this around it. John was a prophet. He was the leader of a movement. He was focused in on what he was doing. But now he is in a jail. Now he is facing possible execution. And he's got one question. Are you the one we were looking for? There had to be some doubt that crept into his mind. Or else he would have never. He had to doubt himself. You see, John saw the Spirit lighting on Jesus when he was baptized. John heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John continued pointing people to Jesus saying, he is the one. I'm not worthy even to lace up the shoestrings. And now doubt had crept in because he was in despair. He was in jail. And he may have asked the question, you know what, if you are really the Messiah, what am I doing rotting in this jail? I think we all have to struggle with God sometimes. But we must come back. Who are you? What did you do? The verification of even those who didn't believe. Now, this is the hard part. What did they reject? What did the community reject? And if you want to know the course of every person who rejects Christ, this is the course. This is extremely important for us today. This is the reason why when a man stands before God, this verse may be cast up on the big screen of the sky. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 said, For in the case those who have once been enlightened. You know what enlightened means? Brought to light. Remember what Jesus did? Jesus came and he did what? He was the true light. Do you suppose these people knew Jesus up front? They watched him grow up. They saw him. Jesus came back. He enlightened them. Do you know that every man has been enlightened by the true light? But secondly, and have tasted the heavenly gift. What is that? The Scripture says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Here is the Father's gift, and it's called grace. These people back home tasted of the grace. They saw what God had to offer in sending the Son, and then had been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They were not foreign to the Holy Spirit. They had partaker. They had tasted. They had come into contact. The Holy Spirit was speaking to these men who rejected Him. And have tasted the good Word of God. In John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So who did they reject? They rejected the good Word of God. And lastly, and the powers of the age to come, that God is sovereign. Now, put all these things together right here. When a person has been enlightened, the truth has been shown, the light came in, turned on the light so they could see who's at home. The Father reveals His gift through grace. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ, touches the heart, guides, convicts of sin. Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, so much that He wants them to receive Him as the one sent from God. And the powers, the sovereign power of God was made available. And every person knows this. But here's the danger. Hebrews 6:6. "And then if fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame." You capture that word, impossible? You see, the fact about the matter is, there is no plan B. It is Jesus Christ. And what did He went back home, and what did the people do? They rejected Him. They were offended by Him. Jesus carried these words on. In chapter 6, we'll pick it up with verse 4. "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no miracle except he laid hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. And he was going around the villages." Jesus wondered. What was He doing here? Prophet, He understood what was going on. He understood why. He was hindered because He could do no miracle. And He was amazed at their unbelief. And then He was going around the villages. Let's make the dots connect. Hindrance to Jesus. What did He have? No honor. What happened? Because there was no belief. What occurred? There were no miracles. But what did Jesus do? He moved on. He was so amazed what was going on in his hometown. He had a desire to go there, but when he went there, there was no honor, no belief, therefore no miracles. What happens if you take the no out? It looks like this. Honor, belief, miracles. And it's on. See, take the no out. So when you go back home, take the no out. Because this is what happened. There was the desire of Jesus. And what did He want to do? He wanted to have an adoption in His hometown. He wanted to adopt the community. But in order to adopt the community, they had to receive Him, not be offended in Him. What was the assignment of Jesus? To enlighten them, show them the truth, show them the way. allow the gift of the Father to be in their presence, allow the Holy Spirit to touch them, allow them to accept the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, and experience the sovereign power of God. That's what he did. And then the humanity, we acknowledge Jesus came in the flesh. Hey, we've got to do that even to this day. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Did Jesus Christ, was he sinless? Was he born of a virgin? Did he walk on that road? Was he crucified? Was he raised from the dead? Yes. So the humanity of Jesus coming in the flesh, but then it boils down to this. What was the hindrance? They had to believe in Jesus in the hometown. And what does it come down for us? Are we going to leave the no in there, or are we going to take the no out? He wants us to go home. He wants us to go home. So this morning, some of you are looking at this. You've seen the struggles that Jesus had. You saw the desire. You've got the desire. But oh, don't you want your family to receive Christ? Don't you want your friends to receive Christ? Don't you want those in the community, your community, to receive Christ? So that you can say, faith, power, sovereign. Yeah. Question is, this morning, do you say yes to Christ or no to Him? If you say yes to Christ, receive Him into your heart. That's what Jesus wanted His community to do. If you say no to Him, understand, there's no plan B. You got family, friends that you need to pray for, now's a good time. You got community members that you want to know the truth, now's a good time. Let's pray together, and then we're going to stand and give you an opportunity to respond. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come with the presence of Almighty God, knowing that Jesus Christ came. He lived, He died, He rose again, and He's coming back. We know that His heart was there for His community when He went back home. And He was astounded. He was amazed that they didn't believe. Father, help us not to be like that community of no belief, but let us believe and let there be powers. Let us prepare for the future. Let us work afresh in the presence of God. And I pray for those who say yes to Jesus this morning that they'll step out, come take me by the hand. I pray for those who are going to be lifting up other community members, Holy Spirit, that right now you would answer those prayers and reach out and touch. I pray for those who are struggling with God. They'll have the peace with God. I pray for those who are doubting that they'll have the faith. Lord, it's your moment, it's your time. Take us back home. One day, take us to our home in heaven to spend with our family, family of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. As people have the opportunity this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Christ, come take me by the hand. Just let me know. If you'd like to pray to receive Christ this morning, I'd be glad to assist you. The prayer altars are going to be open for whatever reason that you and God want to do business on. If you'd like to be a member of this church, we want you to be a part of it. We want you to come. Just let us know. Let us know what's on your heart. Let's just...